for Bay Rowdies, who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference champion.
A chance for a score! Oh, that is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Holm coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight with the returning shadow boxing champion. He has returned to us from shadow boxing exile, I assume. But Carlos, how are you doing?
I was in, where is it? Is it Dagestan? Dagestan, that the UFC champs are all from. Spent 3 years over there, and you leave a champion. I'm not in Dagestan, or however you would pronounce that. I'm back at home in Tampa, Florida for Thanksgiving. Excited to be back. It's just nicer weather down here right now. It's kind of like the perfect time to be in Florida. It's not too hot, and you just get nice breezes. It's money. It's perfect. So I'm happy, James. I'm back home. Actually, this is a tangent that's not related, but Georgetown basketball is playing in a midseason tournament over in Orlando at the end of the week. So I'll make my way over to that city, I guess we could call it, and spend some time over there. And it just will be a good week full of sports. If we ignore the Bucks loss this weekend, I think we can look ahead and have a great week of Tampa sports plus Georgetown hoops. James, how are you doing? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I am also in Florida. I just had not left, so, you know, no real difference for me there. But Carlos, while we're on the subject of comings and goings, we do have a show to talk about tonight related to the Rowdies.
Yeah.
Or a show to get to, I should say. Yeah. Now, this one, we do have some stuff to talk about within the USL because there is news there. But actually, very nicely from the Rowdies, they helped us out and gave us something to talk about on tonight's show. Hopefully something that you guys will be able to listen to ahead of the Thanksgiving break. Maybe we'll be in your ears while you're on the plane. Maybe while you're driving, maybe while you're in the backyard hiding from relatives that you didn't want to see. I'm not going to call anybody out here, say any names, but if you are one of those people who's hiding from your family, then at least tune in to us and keep us in your earbuds. I appreciate that much.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the USL Championship because the playoff final was this past Saturday at noon, at noon Eastern time, which means what? It was 11 at the time that it started out there, I think.
Yeah. Last year was in Colorado Springs and the local time kickoff was like 10 a.m. I'm pretty sure. It was ridiculous. But this year, 11 a.m. still weird, but I guess a little more normal than 10 a.m. kickoff last year. But James, by all accounts, it was one of the games of all time. It wasn't particularly exciting, but it was an interesting result. We can talk about that in a second. But yeah, weird kickoff time. Great atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's a good way to describe it before we get into everything. And then afterwards, like I said, we'll talk about the Rowdies roster news. We will go through all of that if you haven't already seen it. Yeah. It is out online and you can check out everything to go along with what we're reading. And then we'll give our thoughts. You can give your thoughts if you'd like. And just let us know how you're feeling about it, because that's obviously what we're here to do. Anyway, let's get into all of that. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube or subscribe on any major podcast platform. And of course, please follow RBLR Sports and all your social medias at RBLR Sports. Eureka, our producer, got the jump on that on all of the social media. So we've already got it locked down. Yep. Carlos, as you said, one of the games that has ever happened in the world was this past weekend on Saturday at 11 a.m. local time, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it was the USL Championship Final, FC Tulsa hosting the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. It was 0-0 through 90 minutes. It was then 0-0 through 120 minutes. Yep. It went to penalties. Exactly one of those penalties was saved, and Pittsburgh Riverhounds are the champions of the USL Championship. So I forget if they were – I think they were a four seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
So I just wanted to add this note in here because this is how I saw it written. And I think that is actually the best way to describe not only this game based on the scoreline, but also the whole run in the playoffs for the current reigning champions. Pittsburgh Riverhounds capture championship trophy, scoring one goal in four playoff games. I texted this before, I texted this after the game to our little group who cover the Rowdies with RBLR Sports. And I said that it looked like Pittsburgh was aiming for the penalty shootout from about the time that the game kicked off. And I will stick by that. I think that the Pittsburgh Riverhounds are known for their defensive play. I don't think that they are particularly renowned for anything that they do in the attack. But in a playoff setting, when you don't have to worry about ties, you just have to get yourself to a certain point where your keeper can continue to make a couple more saves.
Yeah.
You can win the whole damn thing, scoring one goal in four games in the playoffs. I am personally, just because of the way that I feel about soccer, I personally really dislike that. And it's not cheap. I'm not going to like call it out anything that way. That's incorrect. They're paid to win trophies. And they just won the one that everybody was going for, obviously. So,
yeah,
you know, hats off, kudos and congratulations, all of those words. But at the same time, personally, I just kind of think that it's shitty. And Pittsburgh won, so the Eastern Conference won for the first time. Carlos, you can tell me the first time, and I don't remember how long, but really, really annoying circumstances, in my opinion. And I would much have preferred to see Tulsa win that one, whether or not they're out west. I think that their crowd was raucous for the whole of the playoffs. Yep. They came very close a couple of times. To be fair, Pittsburgh, I think, also hit the post at one point. So, you can't go by that standard. But it, as I've said already a couple of times, cough, cough, bullshit. It was whatever. The Riverhounds won. And I suppose that some number of people in Pittsburgh will be happy about that. Probably not many, but some.
No, they had a great, like, I am not as passionate about this as you are in terms of, you know, being upset at Pittsburgh winning. As a former defender myself, James, I respect the grind. And I, as a fan of Ecuador soccer, and the national team, I can appreciate the value of a nice 0-0 result. That being said, I will say it was not who we expected to be champion at the end of the year by any means. So respect to them. Follow up to that, and it's going to sound like I'm discrediting them. It's just an observation, and I don't really care if it like makes like Pittsburgh Riverhounds fans mad. Like, they won the championship. There's nothing to be mad about, right? But it was like, because of the results that happened and the upsets, they had a relatively smooth ride to the playoffs, ignoring the fact that they had to win by a goal in one game and then penalties in the rest of the games.
Yeah.
The teams that they played ended up being, they opened with Hartford, who was, you know, in good form, tough team. It was the fifth place team, right? Then they played against Detroit, who pulled off the upset against Louisville, if I'm not mistaken, right? Or was it Rhode Island that pulled off the upset?
Detroit City beat Louisville.
Correct. Yeah. So they avoided Louisville and beat Detroit in penalties. In the conference final, they avoided Charleston and played Rhode Island, right? Yeah. Because Charleston got knocked out.
Right.
So all that to say, like, it's not discrediting them by any means. It was just the chaos of this Eastern Conference playoffs in particular was crazy enough that the path opened up for Pittsburgh. And that's totally fair. You know what? Like, good for them. Sometimes things work out in your favor. Who's to say they wouldn't have gotten a 0-0 result against Louisville and knocked them out in penalties? Like, it's very possible, right? The way they were playing, I think it would have been much harder though. And so that being said, just an observation. It was an interesting playoffs. It wasn't the most goal filled, particularly for Pittsburgh. And at the end of the day, beyond the soccer, I'm happy for their fans that traveled all the way out there. I saw they were selling like $130 tickets for, they included a ticket to the game and a spot on a bus that was leaving from Pittsburgh to Tulsa, which was crazy. And
that's pretty wild.
Yeah. Which a chunk of those folks who, hold on, I'm freezing up here. Am I back?
Hello? Yes.
Yes. Okay, I think we're still here.
Yeah.
Technical difficulties. There we go. And a large chunk of those people that made it down to that like away section that Pittsburgh had. I know we're on that bus. So just crazy. That's like a, well, let me fact check myself. How long of a drive do you think that is, James? Can you give me a prediction?
I don't know if it's a bus, and I feel like bus drivers they have to work under the 8 hour like stop.
Yeah, they have to stop.
So that would probably take you 2 days.
So online straight shot 15 hours. So let's give them, you know, a few extra hours. Oh, a good chunk of extra hours for the overnight and the swap and the rest. And they probably have a backup bus driver there ready to take on, like, whatever. Point is, they left the night before, I think it was like 5 or 6 p.m., ended up in Tulsa the morning of the game, and then left the same day in the evening from Tulsa back to Pittsburgh.
That kind of sucks. I would want to at least party at noon.
No, well, you know, this is what I saw on social media. I saw that the flyer said that they left at 8 p.m. from Tulsa. So they had the evening to celebrate, the afternoon after the game and the evening to celebrate in Tulsa. They had their fun, and they got on the bus and presumably had way too much to drink and passed out on the bus, made the trip back a lot easier. I would imagine that bus ride sucks if you lose. It's like a 15-hour bus ride back.
Yeah.
Much less entertaining with the loss. But good for them. Happy for them. It's interesting to me that they hadn't made it to a final at all in their good chunk of history. It feels like I've said this before, that when we heard they made it to the final, that they are a team that seems to have been kind of on the verge of, you know, breaking through and just never really did. And this was their year, weirdly enough, in a year where they weren't the best team in the league by any means. This ended up being the year. So good for them. Happy for the fans that made the trip, and happier for the USL as a whole. I thought it was a pretty great game, all things considered. And despite Pittsburgh sitting back, there was a good amount of chances back and forth. Made for a really entertaining 0-0 result. I thought it was a good showcase for the league. The stadium was packed. The atmosphere was great. I wish it wasn't at a baseball stadium, but honestly, when it's that packed and the atmosphere is bumping like that, it hides the baseball stadium part of it to the average viewer. So good time. Happy, like I said, happy for the fans, and I think happy for the USL as a whole that it was a good final. Playoffs were weird. I thought it was fun, chaotic. Again, not particularly exciting, but I can appreciate the chaos. So good playoffs, James. Why not? Let's give it a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. I like
that's
that.
That's my rating.
Well, regardless of what we think, yes, the Pittsburgh fans did get to celebrate, and it's always fun as a fan to celebrate. So I can at least say I hope that they all had a very good time, very good safe time on their billion hour bus ride and whatever, but other than the actual transportation part, I'm sure they had pretty much fun throughout.
By the way, this was the first time that the Eastern Conference had won the title since 2019. That was when Real Monarchs, for whatever reason, was in the Eastern Conference, and that weird kind of split.
That's amazing.
Real Monarchs, obviously out of Salt Lake City, somehow in the Eastern Conference I think I'm wrong. Scratch that. Let me get back to you. I don't think this is correct. You know what? Let's circle back to this at the end. Forget everything. Right. Good playoffs, good game. James, hopefully we're talking about the Rowdies in this game next year.
Well, that's a good thing to that would be a good transition, but I do have one more point that I want to hit on before we actually move to the next part. I want to point out that when the players walked out, this is the players for both teams. They said it was part of the USL Players Association protest. Now, personally, I support the union, got to support the players. They are still employees like anybody else. So even if even if some of them do make considerably more money than the average person, they are still generally employees. So they were trying to get the USL to recognize the USL Players Association new contract proposal, is my understanding. So they both went out wearing T-shirts that said USL Pro Rel ? Try standards first. And by that, they mean literal contract standards. Again, as agreed upon with the Players Association, they have submitted their own suggestions for a future collective rights bargaining agreement. Boy, it got me. I got through that eventually, but yeah, they want to have standards for travel, obviously minimum wages and standards for contract length, that kind of stuff. The USLPA was previously recognized, but I believe at this point that their collective bargaining agreement is up soon, and they are trying to get the USL to recognize the next stage of the collective bargaining agreement with presumably better rights for the employees, which I will support. So I just wanted to throw that last piece in there before we could move on to the rallies.
Yep. Notice that. I don't think it got talked about as much as I thought it would, just because of, I guess, the chaos of the game and the playoffs as a whole. But yeah, good point mentioning that as well. Anything else to mention on this final, on the game? I will say the Rowdies did beat Pittsburgh earlier this year, 2-1, August 30th. So that makes us transitive champs. If you go back to that game, your Tampa Bay Rowdies, transitive 2025 USL champions. Sold out crowd over there. What was it? Some 9,000 folks in attendance. That's pretty great. Good for Tulsa. I think that's everything. USL final. Yeah.
Transitive champs. You did hear it here first.
Yeah. Yeah. James, it's crazy. We tied up the bow. It's done. 2025 USL championship season done and dusted. Congrats to Pittsburgh. We're now officially, collectively into the off season. Although it's felt like we've been like that for a few weeks, officially season done. American soccer is done. I don't care about MLS playoffs since it's all rigged for Messi to win anyway. Who cares? This was fun. Good job, U.S. soccer. Move on to 2026. Hopefully a big year for the Rowdies. James, is that a good transition? Can we jump into Rowdies talk?
That is a good transition. I will get us there to the Rowdies roster news. But before that, I do want to say liking and subscribing is free. But if you think you might need some new threads coming up this year, let's say you are looking for the perfect Christmas gift.
Absolutely. Or
the perfect gift for somebody who is a Rowdies fan and wants to go to games in 2026.
Exactly.
There are all sorts of occasions that you might be looking for a gift. There are even other holidays that I'm not listing, but you guys know that there are all sorts of ways, all sorts of reasons to go to shop.rblrsports.com, which is actually where I'm trying to take this. Let's go to shop.rblrsports.com. Check out the lineup of things that we've got going on there. There are some really cool designs. And if you find something you like, when you find something you like, and you go to check out, please use the promo code COYR, and you can get 10% off of your order while you're there. That's not bad, right? Will be a link in the description. Please check it out, and hopefully we will see everybody in RBLR gear come some point in 2026. That would be good. All right, now.
Kislav approved, by the way. Check that out.
There you go.
Check it out. All right.
He bobbled his head. Yes.
Rowdies talk. Heard there's some roster news. Anything groundbreaking here? We'll talk about it in a second. Maybe not. We've talked about, guys that we've seen that for sure aren't coming back, but weren't officially announced, but we saw this based off, our very in-depth Instagram research. from Chrysostomo, I think is one that comes to mind as someone who, made his goodbye post. Bondre had an Instagram goodbye post, even though those two players are two that weren't officially confirmed as of a couple weeks ago to not be coming back. We heard that it was we needed to wait until after the USL season officially ends. Of course, that ended this past weekend to announce the contract options that we were waiting to hear back about. So a few questions were answered today, James, right? We know that the options were exercised for 2026 on Alex Mendez and Nate Worth. So that's some new news. Great to see Alex Mendez coming back. Personally, I think he has a lot of really, 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 really great potential on this squad. He showed lots of flashes of that in the back end of this past season with the Rowdies. I'm glad he is sticking around for at least another year. I think he could be a key feature to this Rowdies midfield going forward, especially as we try to become a younger, quicker, more dynamic squad. He seems to be an exciting piece in the middle of the field that we could be excited to have back. And then, of course, Nate Worth, again, who was on loan to Red Bulls 2, I believe, this past season. He is coming back as of now. I'm curious to see what his plans are or what our plans are for him in 2026. I think there's a world where, you know, he gets sent off to another team. We sell him to, I don't know, an MLS squad. Seemed like he was doing really well with Red Bulls too. Maybe there's some interest there. But for now, exercise option for Nate Worth in 2026 as well. So two really interesting pieces there. Curious to see what the plan is for Nate Worth. Excited about Alex Mendez going forward. I think, like I said, he can be a key piece. James, any comment on those two?
Yes, I definitely have some comments. Nate Worth is a very interesting one for me because, obviously, he started the season as somebody that we thought was going to get a lot more playing time based on how 2024 had gone.
Yeah.
And then it just did not turn out that way. And Nate Worth was barely getting any time even off the bench. I expected him before the season started probably to be a more regular starter. I don't think he even started in Open Cup games or anything. So, Carlos, it was hard for us to really figure out what was going on with Nate Worth here, and they ultimately just loaned him out so that he could continue to get playing time. All of that leads me to think, just like you said, the most likely option here is that he will ultimately be sold on, and we exercise the option so that we can sell him and get some type of check. We don't know what, but some type of money for his contract. So, yeah, kind of confusing if you ask me.
Yeah.
But I guess that's probably more of a money. That's probably more of a money move than it is anything related to. This is my assumption. We don't know what's going to happen in the offseason. We don't know. I don't even know how much Dominic Casciato really knows about Nate Worth. Right. So we're not sure. But yeah, that was interesting. I expect based off of where we are right now that he would be sold.
Yeah. And And this is not going too far back, so you don't have to, you know, rack your mind for this. But Nate Worth has been a, you know, super highly touted youth national team prospect. Like, he's been very much talked about in U.S. soccer scenes for quite a while, going back to his youth national team days, which, again, isn't that long ago. He's playing U18 soccer as recently as last year, I believe, for the U.S. youth national team. Kid's good at soccer. He had flashes of that greatness with us, not this past season, but the season before. So I think we're kind of just assuming, based on what we're seeing, you know, reading in between the lines here, that's a potential option for him. But at the same time, I wouldn't be super surprised if, you know, Dom sees a talent on this kid and decides that there's serious upside in keeping him here. Again, maybe this is all assumption at this point, right? Maybe Nate Worth wants to pursue MLS, you know, career, and we get some, you know, a check for that, James. And I think it's a mutual win-win if there's not a spot in Dom's plan. But again, TBD, we're all just kind of guessing at this point, but good to know that we have him at least on paper for the 2026 season. Alex Mendez as well. Again, I'll reiterate how excited I am about having him back officially. I think that's going to be huge, huge, huge for us. James, I know you talked a lot about how much you liked him last year. You were high on him when we signed him. Again, he's another guy who was highly touted as a youth prospect and just hadn't really kind of blossomed into the guy that a lot of folks thought he could be. He's kind of bouncing around a little bit in Mexico, made his way to the Rowdies. And I think hopefully he can kind of find a platform to get to that level that maybe a lot of people thought he could be at. So we'll see. Alex Mendez, excited to have him in 2026. James, anything on Mendez?
Mendez, I'm super happy that he's coming back. I think that he's one of the better players that we're going to have moving into 2026. And that is based on the way that he played with us in the last, 2 months of 2025?
It wasn't long.
I mean, if you think about 2025 and the way that the year went, obviously, it was very poor, but other than that, there were two signings that really, really helped us turn things around in a big way. Well, if you want to put it that way, I suppose there were three, because Rubens Passius was also here on loan and he hit double-digit goals. You can't discount that. But the last 2 months, we brought in Paul Marie on loan, who was an absolute just diamond in the USL Championship. He's not getting games at the MLS level, I guess, but man, he is fantastic at the USL Championship level. Alex Mendez came in a couple of weeks after that, and he was, God, the passes that he was pinging around and the level of play that he brought to this team. If we can do anything to bring those three back, I say we should do it. That's going to be very difficult. Yeah. We have Mendez, but Marie, even if San Jose don't retain him, which I don't know what their contract situation is, but even if they don't, all of USL is going to be looking at this guy, obviously. And the same will be true for Rubens Passius. I don't know what his contract is for his MLS team, Nashville, but if they don't keep him, then everybody is going to be trying to look at him, bring him in, see what their options are. So those are two really good players. And I don't know if we can have them rejoin Alex Mendez, but man, I would love to see that. Alex Mendez hopefully is a player that we can kind of build the team around for 2026. I really think that if he can be given the proper platform, he was a very highly rated youth national team star. Speaking of that, for a long time.
Yeah.
He made the move to Ajax at a young age. And then from there, he made the move to Mexico. So like, he's played at big clubs. He has a really good reputation, and there's a reason for that. Maybe it hasn't worked out to the point where he's still playing for Ajax, obviously, but there's clearly some talent there. And if we can bring it out, then that'll be just to our benefit.
Yeah. And he's still so young too, is a crazy thing to me. Like he has this extensive experience at this point, you know, having bounced around the world a bit, gotten, you know, the best of, you know, possible training in Europe with Ajax, who's like, you know, one of the best clubs in the world at developing talent, right? Played in Liga MX, which, as you know, is a very intense league to play in. Now he's playing with the Rowdies. Like, this is a great experience to have at the age of 25. And I think there's still so much room for him to grow. And there's a lot of areas, there's a lot of ways that I think the attacking style that Dominic Cacciato likes to play would not only be a good fit for him, but will also help him to continue to blossom into, like I said, the potential that a lot of people saw for him in his youth national team days. So, great stuff. Excited to have him back. I looked him up on my laptop separately over here. When you look up Alex Mendez, there's a 2021 YouTube video. It's his highlight reel, and it's Alex Mendez, Future of American USA Football. So I guess that's kind of what people were talking about with him in 2021. So we're not all that removed from that. You know, it's not like the talent just disappears overnight or anything. In fact, it's probably grown since then. Right. Just maybe not all the way like people might've thought. So I think this is a great platform for him to not only be able to do that and help him, you know, continue his career, but I think significantly help the Rowdies in 2026. Great piece to have at 25 years old. I'm so excited for him. I know we talked about him for the last like 5 minutes at this point, but I think it's merited. I think this is really, really exciting. Okay, James, let's mention the players that we know for a fact. The news, I guess, the new news was some of the declined options as well, right? Yeah. Again, these are options that have probably been decisions that had probably been made for the last several weeks, maybe month at this point. But we could not have the Rowdies couldn't make that announcement until the USL Championship concluded this past weekend. Declined options for 2026 on Ollie Bassett, Danny Crisostomo, Van Kaziel. Again, these are guys we basically knew of, along with Ethan Bondre, based off of Instagram posts. So not new news, but officially confirmed by the Rowdies. And then the new ones that I think we hadn't heard of were Bill Hamid and Christian Ortiz. Christian Ortiz is one I want to talk about a little bit more in a second. I think Joey Skinner we also saw on Instagram. I'm not sure, but regardless, like, Joey Skinner declined option for 2026 as well. So at the moment, no keepers. I think it's funny, like, reading stuff on social media, like, people reacting. It's like, wait, like, who's going to play in goal in 2020? Like, you know,
right.
It doesn't matter right now, obviously, with the season just concluded. And actually, if you read the, postseason reflections with Dominic Cacciato that the Rowdies also put out today, he actually shares that there are several new faces that are already, you know, confirmed to be with the squad. Mm-hmm. He actually used the phrase significant number of new faces confirmed. So those will probably be rolled out over the next, you know, month, several weeks, and we'll see who those are. So, you know, the squad will if not already built, the squad will continue to be built over the next month, month and a half. And we'll see, you know, how the squad starts to shape up for 2026. Out of contract, we already knew this. Manu Arteaga, Juan Carlos Azócar, Blake Bodley and Nick Moon, and Pacific Nyongbire, also out of contract. So I mentioned this, I think, last week, that Blake Bodley and Nick Moon was just, it's unfortunate because I think that duo was one I was so excited about when they were officially announced together, when San Diego Loyal folded, rest in peace. And it just never came to fruition, unfortunately, their full potential that they had at San Diego Loyal. The injury bug, you know, affected both of them, Nick Moon in particular. It seemed like they just were never really healthy at the same time, or they were, one of them was coming back from injury while the other one was healthy. Like it never really blossomed into what I think I had hoped for them. Pacific Nyongabira as well. I think this is one I'm sad to let go because he has a lot to offer on the wing in particular, even when he was at striker, when we were, you know, low on strikers this season. There's a lot of potential there. And again, just injury bug really affected him this year. We didn't see him for a large portion of the season on the back half of the year. So, James, those are the new names officially confirmed to not be coming back for 2026. Christian Ortiz is one in particular that I want to talk about in a second. But are there any names on here that you want to mention or maybe are surprised about or not surprised about? Any comments initially?
Christian Ortiz, you said we're going to get to that. So, we'll wait there. Joey Skinner is a little surprising for me, not because I can pull up the stats, but Joey Skinner made over 20 appearances for the Rowdies. This is in the league. Over 20 appearances, I know, in the league. And if I'm not mistaken, two of those were starts. So you can't say that he was burning down the what am I trying to say? Knocking down the coach's door to get into this, team. But I still think that he's a very good depth piece at the very least. And he could play multiple positions. We saw he played as a left wing back. He played as a left winger at times. He played as one of the attacking central midfielders at times. I'm assuming he could also play as a left center back if we needed it. I don't know. I just surprised that someone this versatile was not brought back in for whatever reason. So that one, that one threw me a little bit. Ethan Bondry and Bill Hamid. I get both of those. I'm not too surprised that Bill Hamid isn't coming back. I like Bill Hamid, but I really think that the Rowdy should probably be looking for somebody who, and I just hate to put it this way, but it's the truth. As a team, you have to have a little bit of foresight this way. You have to have somebody who's going to be less injury prone. That's just the way that it works. You need somebody who's going to be available more often. So I like Bill Hamid, and I think that he does have a lot to offer still, but maybe not starting every single week, and nobody's going to start every single week, but you need to have somebody that you think you can rely on a lot. And so I get that. Yeah, those are my two that kind of stand out there. Blake Bodley, Nick Moon, you already said it. We never really saw them reach the heights. It's unfortunate, but they're still good players, and I don't doubt that they're going to end up doing well for somebody else. Hopefully not against us. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I think Joey Skinner is a good one to highlight. He had a great year with us. I think he was one of the revelations of the roster for 2025, in a roster where we couldn't point to a ton of folks that were just having good games, you know, week in and week out. Joey Skinner seemed to be a really great energy piece off of the bench that provided a lot of spark on the wing back area, or in the wing back area. And even in his couple starts, played great soccer. So I think you mentioned him being able to play in a few different positions. I think he has a long career ahead of him in the USL as a Thomas Van Kaziel type of player, right? Like being able to be a great utility player, you know, hopping in and providing incredible value to whatever team he plays for because of his utility. But I think what Van Kaziel doesn't have that Joey Skinner does have is a bit more of an attacking threat too. Like when he got upfield, he found himself in positions to score goals every once in a while, but put in a great cross, could take guys on one-on-one. Like he was really, really surprising. So I think he would have been a piece I would have liked to have back for this year. I don't know if Dom has like more aspirational, you know, goals in mind for signing a wing back second, you know, make the all USL type team right at the end of the year.
Right.
I don't think Joey Skinner is that at the moment. Right. Maybe that's kind of, you know, we're being a bit more aspirational for next season, but I think Joey Skinner at minimum would have been a great, great, great depth piece to have on the squad. Whenever injuries come up, stuff like that, he's a guy like Van Kaziel you want to have for utility piece. Manu Arteaga, we knew about this, but you know, he's a fantastic striker as well. Just didn't really find it this year, and I think it's unfortunate. So not all that surprising that he's not coming back this 2026, but I love him a ton. I think he's a great, great player and wish him all the best. Okay. Christian Ortiz is one I wanted to mention here just for a second, maybe a bit more in depth than the others. Because we know Christian Ortiz came as an academy player originally. Did we sign him to an academy contract at all? Or was he straight up? I think we did initially, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And later, yeah, you're right. And then later on, signed him to full-time professional contract.
Yeah.
Made a few appearances with the Rowdies on and off in 2024. Had a couple looks at goal, never found that first goal, but we talked about him as having a ton of potential and like knocking on the door, that first goal. That once that first goal came, that confidence would be there. The young player would blossom into a, not only just a depth piece, but as a serious, you know, competitor for a starting spot.
Mm-hmm.
Not all that surprised that this past year, we decided to loan him out to Columbus Crew 2, right? Where he got significantly more minutes than he would have with the Rowdies this year, presumably. Scored a few goals, played well by most accounts. I think I'm a little surprised by this because he was so touted as like, you know, the kind of like the pinnacle of you know, the Tampa Bay United. I don't know if he came from Tampa Bay United, but like the youth Tampa sport, the youth Tampa soccer scene into the Rowdies. Like that was kind of Christian Ortiz. That's kind of like who we were going to look to as serious potential for that pathway. And I think it's unfortunate that we're not bringing him back because I think there's a lot of, you know, who knows what would have happened, right? I don't know if he would have started for the squad or even gotten significant minutes next year. I really don't know what Dom Casciato has in store. Maybe he already has like these, you know, MVP golden boot type players lined up for next year that I don't think Christian Ortiz would be off the bat next season, but he has a lot of potential that I think is unfortunate that we weren't able to fully, you know, develop over time here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not all that surprising though. I don't know if this team or maybe this league as a whole at the moment is super conducive to allowing, you know, a young player to stay on a team for 3-4 seasons, you know, and that fourth season really developing into a starting piece. I just don't know if that's kind of how that would work, right? I don't know if it's, especially with the Rowdies, like there's a lot of pressure for next year to win, you know, significant amount of games, like get back to where you were, right? I think it's hard to incorporate significant youth talent into that. So not all that surprised, but I think disappointing because I really, really like Christian Ortiz and what he was able to bring to the table in his few minutes with the Rowdies. And even in his Dominican national team minutes, it was so cool to see him doing that. Like, so personally, just a little bummed out by that. But again, I'm not sure I'm all that surprised based on thinking about 2026 and the pressure Dom has to win and, you know, maybe needing to bring in some more proven, a little bit more veteran strikers that we know are going to, you know, we can hedge we can put some money on, you know, being in that upper echelon of goal scoring next year. So, James, initial thoughts on that, Christian Ortiz?
I generally had a lot of the same thoughts and feelings you did. One that I will add to that is just like, for me, in all honesty, truly disappointed to see it. I'm disappointed that the Rowdies let him go. You pointed out how it's difficult for younger players to see a direct path into the first team. The USL Championship is a place where I would imagine a lot more young players get a lot more time than we actually see. But everybody here is playing to win every single game. And I'm not saying that that shouldn't be the goal or anything, but I feel like there is a little bit of a balance that can be struck because the Rowdies haven't had, I don't know, who was the Rowdies best academy player, Tate Johnson. He played under 10 games for us total. So it's just kind of disappointing to me that Tampa Bay as a club so far, we don't know what the future holds, but so far doesn't seem to be a great place to develop youth talent. That's I personally, as a fan, and this is my own philosophy on soccer, so it might not be similar to a lot of people, but I personally do value when a team can be such a fabric of their own community that they bring players in from the local community who have come up through the academy. Now, the Rowdies don't have an academy like a lot like other places do. We have partnerships with local youth soccer teams, but either way, I think that that's really disappointing. It's unfortunate for Christian Ortiz, and I don't know where he's going to end up next. I know that he was originally born in New York. I think he spent most of his life in Florida and then obviously spent this last year in Columbus. So I don't know if he has any specific plans or any specific ideas about what he'd like to do next. But that one sucks for me. It's coach's decision, and maybe this is the better option for Christian Ortiz because he doesn't expect that he's going to get the playing time that somebody of his talent deserves to try to get to the next level. You have to play to get to the next level, right? So I guess that's something to take and to keep in mind. But the fact that they don't see him playing here, I guess that's that's kind of what I find disappointing. And I wish him all the best, obviously. I wish him all the best, and I hope it works out. And I hope someday he can come back and wear Rowdy's colors, maybe when he's had a lot of success and he can start a lot more games for us, justifiably so. But yeah, this one was a little bit of a kick in the gut, but probably not as much as for other people who are closer to him. I'm just a fan of the club overall, and I want to see the youth program get bigger, that kind of thing. And that's how I kind of ended up in this direction.
Yeah, it blows. It's like it again, I don't think it's all that surprising. Just thinking about like needing immediate results next year, right? But yeah, it's like I don't know. It's just this one, like, I think just kicks you a little bit more, like you said, because he's one of the youth talents that we kind of talked about a lot when he officially got that full-time roster or the full-time contract. I think everybody got a little bit excited at that, thinking about what he could do with the Rowdies in the next 3-4 years, right? Yeah, and he's so young that, like, it feels like there's a lot of room for him to bounce back wherever he goes. There's a new team in the New York area in the USL, formerly, you know, the New York Cosmos that played in where they play in Coney Island. Now they're playing somewhere in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there's a spot for him at a lower level, quote unquote, in League One to get more minutes and kind of really kickstart his career. He played in 20 plus games for Columbus Crew too, scored 4 goals. We know he's got a lot of potential. Kid's only is he really only 18? It's crazy to me. Isn't that insane? Born in 2007. So yeah, sucks. Personally, as like you said, as a fan of the club and fan of you know, promoting youth development for the Rowdies and Tampa soccer in general. Santi Castaneda is an example of, you know, one of our top prospects, quote unquote. But really, like, you know, we gave him a bit of a platform for less than the season. All of a sudden he's, you know, starting for a second division team in the Bundesliga.
By the way, that's a really good example because he did not earn much playing time with us at all. Exactly. And then he goes and he starts doing so well for Paderborn that they're using it. It wasn't Paderborn. It was a different club. He did so well for that other club that he moved to Paderborn, who are on the, well, not on the verge, but they're challenging to get promotion to the Bundesliga. So yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah, him and Tate Johnson have been good examples. But again, Tate Johnson played more than Castaneda, and Castaneda's playing, you know, in theory in a more competitive area, maybe making more money. I really don't know what Bundesliga 2 salaries are like versus Vancouver Whitecaps salaries. But I don't know if there was any money involved for the Rowdies because of weird, like, discovery rights for Tate Johnson's move to Vancouver. I wonder if there's any check involved with the move to Germany. I think it was Duisburg, and I'm pronouncing it wrong. I don't speak German. Duisburg, I believe it was. Now, like you said, plays for Paderborn. I don't know. Point is, I would like there to be one of these like youth talents that sticks around for a while. And I know like the idea is to, you know, go off to a more competitive, you know, higher quality league somewhere in Europe. Maybe even MLS. Gross. But like, yeah, I don't know. I in my head, I thought Christian Ortiz might be the guy that sticks around the Rowdies specifically for a while. And maybe becomes kind of the pinnacle of what you think of when you think Tampa youth soccer to Tampa pro soccer team or Tampa Bay pro soccer team for the same people that get mad at me, right? Like if I say Tampa, unfortunate, it'll happen eventually. I think it's unfortunate it wasn't Christian Ortiz because I think he could have been the guy. You're right though. Maybe we see him back. He has a connection down here in the area, obviously grew up for a number of years down here, played his youth soccer down here. I'm, you know, wishing him all the best. I hope he finds a contract somewhere in the USL to continue building his talent and continuing to show the world that he's a great player, because I think he is. And we'll see what happens. So that was one I wanted to highlight a bit because I think it just kind of stings a bit more personally. The other players, obviously wishing them all the best as well. But again, I don't think any of this is particularly earth shattering, despite, you know, how much we've talked about Christian Ortiz, despite how much we talked about, you know, Skinner and Mendez. I'm glad Mendez is back. I don't think any of this is a huge surprise though, James. Would you point to any of these as particularly surprising, even though the Ortiz one kind of hurts, you know, a bit personally? Is there anything that surprises you?
I mean, I would say the Ortiz one is slightly surprising, but overall, no. I think that the writing was on the wall for most of these. Skinner is probably the one that I would have expected to stick around the most out of the list that we've read off. And, yeah, you know, it's that's the way that it goes. So unfortunate, yeah, in a couple of cases and completely understandable in others. And I think that mostly though, yeah, it's definitely not the, it's not something that you're going to read and just like you're taking days off going like, what are we doing? What are you talking about? Yeah. But on the other side of things, Carlos, we only have, I think, 6 players signed to the team for 2026, at least right now. So that means that there's obviously a lot of movement to be made coming up.
Yeah. Looks like, I think, officially 8. Andre Mustali, by the way, we didn't really spend a lot of time talking about him. When the initial moves came out, Andre Mustali is the only striker listed right now. Maybe he's kind of what we pictured Christian Ortiz might be, right? Like in terms of being local talent that sticks around for a while. I wonder if he actually gets minutes next year or if it's more of a push to find, like I said, veteran, like golden boot quality, you know, type of striker for next season. We mentioned young guys that have a lot of potential. Luis Alvarez on the roster for next year. He's one of the 8 players officially rostered for 2026 at the moment. Excited to have him back. He was that record breaking, you know, fee supposedly from League One to the championship. The other guys, and this is on the Rowdy's website if you want to take a look at it, but the other players are Robert Castellanos, Aaron Guillen, Lawrence Weick, Lewis Hilton, of course, Mendez and Nate Worth, we just mentioned, Andre Mustali, and Luis Alvarez, who I just mentioned. So 8 players officially rostered for 2026. Casciato mentions that there's, you know, confirmed a number of players that will be joining. I mean, obviously, you know, new players joining the Rowdy's for 2026, but he confirmed that they have players, you know, dotted and signed on the line, on the signature line for next year already. So we'll see who those are. I'm sure those announcements will roll out over the next few weeks. I wanted to quickly draw your attention and any listeners' attention to the Casciato article, the reflections on 2026. There's a lot of great stuff in here. If you want to read just kind of some personal reflections from Casciato from this past season, I think there's some good stuff on here. It's on the Rowdy's website. Casciato reflects on first season in Tampa Bay, looks at 2026. And there's a lot of stuff about, you know, how, you know, the moving in halfway through the season is challenging, but it produces a great, you know, it was a great time to come in because now he had half season under his belt and knows what to expect from 2026, knows exactly what they need, right? There's an advantage to that, right? To knowing what you need going into the first new season, first full season with the team. I think that's a great point. So definitely check out that article, but interestingly, I loved how you talked about the rowdies and the facilities and on the back half of this. The questions pitched to him, have you pitched the rowdies in Tampa Bay to potential new players? He goes, this club sells itself. We have an unbelievable training ground, great stadium, every type of resource for these guys. It's a great place to live. But as I just said, we don't want guys who want to be here just because of that. We want guys that want to win here. So my pitch is, this is the way you want to play, and we think this is how you fit into that. I don't think I'm really selling it. I'm telling them what the expectations are and how they can fit into that. Mm-hmm. We both think it's a fit after the conversation. Come here. Let's win together. I don't think we should be selling anything here. Players should be excited to come to the Rowdies. I think that's a really great way to frame it, James. If I'm a fan of the Rowdies, which I am, you and I both know that there's a ton of value to being here in the Tampa Bay area. You know, I think a lot of professional athletes like the lower taxes. They like having the beach close by. Like, it's a great culture, you know, whatever. It's comfortable. It's a great place to retire, even.
I think all of those are big factors.
Yeah, it's a great place to retire on the back end of your career, too. You can just see out your career with the Rowdies. But I appreciate his emphasis on the fact that this isn't really the selling point they want to focus on right now. Like, tactically, this is how you fit into the team. We want to win. Do you want to win being here? If so, like, you should already be excited about the potential of playing for the Rowdies. Great. I respect that. I think last year, maybe that got overlooked. People kind of forgot that the Rowdies are, it should be a premier club, right? Like, this is a club with history, a club with resources behind it now, maybe even more resources with new ownership. Who knows? It's a great place to play. I love that he's not selling the Rowdies to new players, right? We're pitching, we're figuring out if you want to win with the Rowdies. And I think that's so important. I think it's a great way to frame it. It gets me a little riled up, gets me excited for 2026, James. So I appreciate that comment. Go ahead, check it out. It's on the rowdysoccer.com website. It's a great reflection on 2025 and looking ahead to 2026. James, anything else on here? Should we jump into extra time?
Let's go.
Gotham FC won the NWSL championship game this past weekend versus Washington Spirit, my NWSL team, who I'd say I casually follow. I didn't go to a ton of games this year, but I went to a couple in California. Weird. They played in San Jose. The final was between a team from New York and the Washington Spirit, and they played in San Jose, a greatly named Gotham FC. Washington Spirit now has been in the final 2 years in a row, dropped both of them last year to Orlando Pride. I believe it was in Kansas City last year. Sucks. They're a great team, great players, great culture the Spirit have, and great fans. It's unfortunate. There's been back-to-back finals, back-to-back L's. But, you know, congrats to Gotham, I guess. James, any thoughts on that? It's a good NWSL season.
I was disappointed personally that Trinity Rodman did not win, and this is just because I like Trinity Rodman. She's one of my favorite players on the national team.
She's awesome.
Has unfortunately dealt with a lot of injury problems, and this might be her last season, at least for the time being, in the NWSL, if all the writing on the wall ends up being correct. So that was unfortunate to see her go out without the trophy, but at the same time, you know, I'm not a Washington Spirit fan per se. Carlos, you are a casual follower. You said I have a friend who I think had season tickets at least previously. So that's my connection to the club overall. Gotham, I do like a couple of their players too. Esther Gonzalez is a fantastic striker. But
Rose Lavelle, GOAT.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Rose Lavelle is one of the best players in the league, so you can't really go wrong when you've got her on the field, and that bore out in the end. But, yeah, congrats to Gotham FC. Congrats to their fans. I was able to interview their coach very briefly after Gotham played the Tampa Bay Sun in what was for them a preseason friendly. So congrats to him as well. That's what I got on that one.
The Tampa Bay Sun effect, the championship culture, like, rubs off, you know, it's natural that way.
It was earlier this year, so you could definitely make that argument. Honestly, the coolest thing for me is that Gotham went from the eighth seed to winning. So that's actually wild. That's cool. That's truly an extremely big accomplishment. They were able to knock off the one seed Kansas City Current, who were just demolishing everybody over the course of the season. So good enough.
And who have the only, like, solely women's soccer stadium in the country, by the way, in the City Current. Really cool stadium. It's actually where they're hosting the NCAA Women's Soccer Championships this year, which is really cool. It's the first time they're doing
that. Makes sense.
Georgetown got knocked out last weekend, unfortunately, by FSU. The men's team beat UCF, which was nice. But yeah, really cool stadium, by the way. So women's soccer is growing, James. It's great. Good for the NWSL. Gotham FC having a very USL type of run as an 8 seed.
Yeah.
Making
yeah, it no kidding.
Annoying. Soccer's great, James. I love it. Cool. I don't think anything else in extra time. Just shouting out the Georgetown soccer teams for a great year. Women's soccer had a great season. I think they only conceded like one goal in Big East play. It was ridiculous, like insane. The men's team is in the Sweet 16 officially. It's a fun way to, you know, describe round of 16. Soccer is great. College soccer playoffs are on. It's super fun. They're all on ESPN Plus for the most part. I think they all are actually.
Yeah, if you're a Rowdies fan and you probably already have that subscription, then you could watch any of the college soccer games if you want.
Yeah, there's a lot of great atmospheres. I was watching Portland Pilots yesterday versus Denver University. Great atmosphere. Like, they had smoke bombs going off in the student section. Like, there's just a lot of great college soccer atmosphere, especially this time of year when the games are win or go home, right? The 2,000-3,000 person stadiums are packed in.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes for a really, really fun, intimate, intense atmospheres. Super fun to watch. So check it out. ESPN Plus. You can find the schedule online. Great soccer right now on the men's and women's side. Okay, James, you can wrap it up. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere at RBLR Sports. That's where we are. You can follow me on Twitter at CarlosTPA10. James, where can folks follow you?
Also on Twitter at RBLRJamesK.
There you go. And as always, use a hashtag AskRBLR if you want. Throw in a question in there. It's a fun time to talk Rowdies because there's a lot of changes happening. We haven't even talked about the ownership that much recently over the last couple of weeks. That's still a thing. We have new owners, right? I mean, technically still the Rays, but the Rays have new owners, right? This Ken Babby guy's floating around and potentially means, you know, important stuff for the Rowdies, right? Who's he? What's he got to do with the Rowdies, right? I don't know, but you can ask us and we can maybe figure it out together. Hashtag AskRBLR on social media. We talk about the roster changes and everything. There's a lot of stuff happening. So keep in touch with us. We'll still be putting out content every week, especially now as things kind of start to gel together for 2026 and the picture comes into frame. James, where should people like and subscribe to our podcast? Is that something people should do?
I would like for everybody who listens to this to like and subscribe to us, and not just because you're doing me a favor, but you're probably doing yourself a favor by offering yourself the chance to get more Rowdies content, absolutely, not only in your ears, but on your YouTubes, everywhere else, anywhere that you want content, RBLR Rowdies is there.
Yeah. Yeah. Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Apple, Google, YouTube, we're there. James, for another week of Rowdies content in the offseason, shout out the 2025 USL Championship season. It's coming to an end. Done. Tie the bow. Throw it out. Happy, I don't know. I was going to make a joke about, you know, tying a bow and giving someone a gift on Christmas. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a bad transition. 2025 season, done. Looking ahead to 2026 now. Come on, you Rowdies.
Come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.